Okay. So today we will be learning some halacha together. We'll learn what I think is an interesting halachic question that really comes on the heels of the things that we've been discussing prior. We've been talking about the history of Shemona Esrei, and that led us into a discussion of the Nusach of Shemona Esrei. And I think this quite naturally leads us to another halachic question, which is when it comes to variations in text of the Shemona Esrei, can one change the text so much that they're davening in a different language? Is it permitted to daven Shemona Esrei in a language other than the language it was established in, namely in a language other than Hebrew? So that's what we'll discuss today. It's a practical question a lot also because for two reasons. Number one, not everybody is fluent in Hebrew. Not everybody is proficient in Hebrew. Not everybody is able to read Hebrew. So for those people, can they daven Shemona Esrei in a different language? Even for people who do read Hebrew and understand Hebrew, it may not be as comfortable as their native language. You know, Eliezer ben Yehuda, who was the pioneer of the Hebrew language in Israel, writes in his autobiography that, I don't remember the exact quote verbatim, but he says, you know, like, I speak Hebrew and I try to speak Hebrew as much as I can. He wasn't born speaking Hebrew, obviously. His mother language was Yiddish. But he said, every once in a while, like, I get so lonely and I feel like I'm here on myself and I miss the house that I grew up in, and the environment and the language is a big part of that. And he says, even I can't help but slip into my more comfortable language every now and then, which was Yiddish. And I think that's true for people who even do speak Hebrew. Sometimes it's helpful to pray in another language. And also, even when people do daven in Hebrew, a lot of times people want to make requests in the Shemona Esrei. They want to insert their own requests. Can that be done in a different language, or does that have to be done in Hebrew? So those are the things that we'll talk about today. The recording is on, and so let's get started. So our first source is the Mishnah in Masechet Sota. Mishnah in Masechet Sota actually deals with the question of davening in another language. And you can ask the question before we even read it. Why are we learning Hilchos Tefillah from Sota? So the truth is that the Mishnah sort of answers that question. And source number one, the Mishnah, it's the seventh perek of Masechet Sota, says, Elu ne'amarin b'chol lashon. The following statements, declarations, may be recited in any language. Number one is Parshat Sota, the actual passage of the Sota. We're talking here about the oath that a Kohen makes the Sota woman swear, a woman who was accused of committing adultery with a certain man, or suspected of committing adultery with a certain man, who was warned not to be in Yichud with that man, and nevertheless was in Yichud with that man, then drinks the Sota waters in part of a ritual, which will either vindicate or confirm the suspected adultery. And what part of that procedure is the Kohen makes the woman swear. The Kohen explains to her everything that's going to happen. If you're innocent, then the waters will do this. If you're guilty, then the waters will do this. And she says at the end of that statement, Amen, Amen. It's in the Torah. And the Mishnah says that explaining that the Kohen does, that can be done in any language. You don't have to say literally in Hebrew. You can do that in any language. So that's number one. So that's why we're talking about all this language stuff in Masechet Sota. It's because we're starting with Parshat Sota, and Parshat Sota is one of the things that can be recited in any language. The next thing is Vidoy Ma'aser. Vidoy Ma'aser. Does anybody know what this is? What Vidoy Ma'aser is? Vidoy Ma'aser? Hamish way of saying it? Anybody know? What?
For Bikur?
It's related to Bikurim. It's not exclusively, Vidoy Meiser is, so the Jewish calendar operates on a 7-year cycle of tithes. And depending on the year, the tithe will go to a different place. Sometimes it goes to the poor. Sometimes the owner of the fruit actually takes it themselves to eat in Jerusalem, or redeems it to buy food to eat in Jerusalem. And each fourth and seventh year, each householder has to come to the Beit HaMikdash and confess that no tithes were withheld in the home instead of being disbursed properly. It's basically a statement, I have biarti hakodesh min habayit. I have done all the tithing that I need to do. That happens on the fourth and the seventh year of each tithing cycle. And that declaration, this confession, can be recited in any language. Okay, that's number two. Number three is Kriyat Shema, the daily Shema. And number four, the Mishnah says, is Tefillah. The other thing that can be recited in any language is tefillah, is prayer. The Mishnah concludes with other things, Birkat HaMazon, and two other things, two types of shvuas. A shvuat ha'edut. Shvuat ha'edut is literally an oath of testimony. It's kind of ironic. It's a testimony that one does not have any testimony to give. That's what a shvuat ha'edut is. If you might have to testify, or you get subpoenaed or something like that, you can testify that you have no testifying to do. That's called a shvuat ha'edut. That can be done in any language. And then the last thing is a shvuat ha'pikadon. The last thing is an oath of deposit. It really means if somebody thinks, let's say I think I gave you item X, and you say, "What are you talking about? You didn't give me item X." So then I can make you swear in court that you don't have it. That's a shvuat ha'pikadon, and that swearing can be done in any language. But in any case, the most important one of these for our purposes today is the fourth one: is tefillah. It clearly seems to say in the Mishnah, Elu nevarim b'chol lashon, ... tefillah. So we can conclude from here, seemingly, that tefillah can be recited in any language. Is that not what the Mishnah seems to say? It is what the Mishnah seems to say. But if you haven't figured it out yet, of course, this can't be the end of the discussion. Otherwise, the shiur would end here. So there has to be more to it. And the truth is, the Gemara qualifies this statement. The Gemara on this mission in Masechet Sota actually says some interesting things. In Sota, Adaf Lamed Gimel Amud Aleph, the Torah tells us, first of all, the Torah tells us really two things. First of all, the Gemara explains why tefillah can be recited in any language. The Mishnah said that tefillah can be recited in any language, but what's the rationale for that? Why can tefillah be recited in any language? So the Gemara says, tefillah rachamehi, kol hechi divai mitzalei. The Amidah can be recited in any language because tefillah is a rachamehi. It's a request for divine mercy, and you can pray in any way that one desires. Rashi explains that really the ideal tefillah is one that arouses your heart to pray for divine mercy. And the way that you can most arouse your own heart is if you speak in a language that your heart understands. So therefore, if the whole point of tefillah is to arouse divine compassion, which is the Gemara's assumption, at least here, then it makes sense to say that you can pray in whatever language would most facilitate that. And that could be a language other than Hebrew, depending on the person. Now, that's for why you can say tefillah in Hebrew. But the Gemara actually qualifies the very idea that tefillah can be recited in a language other than Hebrew in the first place. And it's actually fascinating. It has ramifications beyond the daily liturgy. It has ramifications for Slichos. It has ramifications for Rosh Hashanah. Let's see what it says. The Gemara asks, V'tfila b'chol lashon, is it really true that you can, source number two, the first line, is it really true that you can say tefila in any language? But the Gemara says, well, why not? It seems clear from the Mishnah that you can, right? We all read that Mishnah. So the Gemara says, V'ha'amar Rav Yehuda, but we have a statement of Rav Yehuda. What did Rav Yehuda say? Li'olam ali shal adam tzrachav b'loshon aramis. A person should never make their requests from God in Aramaic. To Amar Rabbi Yochanan, why? Why can't you daven in Aramaic? To Amar Rabbi Yochanan, because Rabbi Yochanan said, Kol hashoel tzrachav b'loshon arami, ein malachei hasharit nizkakim lo. Anybody who davens in Aramaic, the ministering angels do not understand Aramaic. They don't understand the language of Aramaic. And the idea is kind of baked into this Gemara. It's not a joke. It's really what Rabbi Yochanan is saying. That when you daven, the angels take your prayers from your mouth to Hashem. And in order for the angels to relate your prayers to God, they have to understand what you're saying. And the angels do not speak Aramaic. Now, why they don't speak Aramaic is a good question. So some Rishonim say that Aramaic is considered a Lashon Meguna. It's considered a distasteful language. And, you know, we think of it as a lofty language because some of the Gemara, even some Sifrei of Tanakh are written in Aramaic. But for reasons that are not so clear to me, some Rishonim write that it's considered a little bit of a distasteful language. And so the angels don't really bother with it. They don't know Aramaic. And the angels have to know the language in order to bring the tefillot up to Hashem. You know, it was very interesting. It was in Yonah D'Yoma. It happened, well, it's in Yonah D'Yoma because we're davening every day. But it's in Yonah D'Yoma because I think it was Congress, maybe it was the Senate, I think it was the House of Congress actually had a translator. They always have a translator into sign language for people who cannot hear the proceedings that are happening. And recently, the translator was outed as a fake. Somebody who actually was hard of hearing attended a session and realized that this translator that they hired was just making things up. It was not actual real sign language. It looked like, you can look it up. It looked like real sign language, but and the person who was hard of hearing had no idea what the translator was saying, and therefore had no idea what was being discussed in Congress. And it's the same thing here. If the angels don't understand what we're saying, then how can they be expected to relay that information to Hashem? And the language, angels do not understand Aramaic. However, our Mishnah said that you can daven in any language. So how do we reconcile, on the one hand, our Mishnah, which says that you can daven in any language, and on the other hand, the statement of Rabbi Yehuda that Aramaic is puzzle. You can't daven in Aramaic. So the Gemara says, ha b'yachid, ha b'tzibur. There's no difficulty. One of these is referring to the prayer of an individual, to individual prayer, and the other is referring to communal prayer. When it comes to communal prayer, you can daven in whatever language you want, even in Aramaic. Why? Because we know that communal prayer is so strong and so powerful that it goes straight up to Hashem, even without an angel. And so when you daven with the congregation, there are no angels necessary to transmit your tefillot to God. And so therefore, there's no concern. God certainly understands Aramaic. God understands that. God understands your heart even if you don't say anything. So obviously you do not need to use a specific language when you're davening in the community, because we know that our communal prayers go up straight to God without any intermediaries. However, biyachid, individual prayer, well, that is not as strong as communal prayer. That requires an intermediary. And so for that reason, one cannot daven in Aramaic. And that is the conclusion of the And that is the conclusion of the Gemara. The Gemara has two examples of when this was relevant. Yeah?
I have a question. Is Aramaic used here as specifically Aramaic or an example of any foreign language?
It's an excellent question. And we're going to talk about that. What would you say? I would say
probably any foreign language.
So you're saying Aramaic is just a stand-in for any language.
Yeah, it's like the example of a foreign language, since that was probably the most common vernacular
okay.
at the time.
Okay, great. So what you're raising is really an interesting question, which is, the Mishnah said you can daven in any language. The Gemara said that when you pray individually, you can daven in any language except Aramaic. And the question raised is, does that mean Aramaic is the only language that one cannot daven in? Or maybe Aramaic is just a proxy for every language, and it said Aramaic, Dibir HaKatuv B'Lashon Hoveh, as we say. It said Aramaic because Aramaic is just the most common example. So that is an excellent question, and we're going to get to it. But at least on a literal level, the only language listed is Aramaic. And so I think you could also make a strong case that the only language that one is prohibited to daven in is Aramaic. And again, that's only when?
Biyachid,
privately. But Sibor, one can daven in any language, even in Aramaic. And that seems to be the conclusion of our Gemara. But let's leave aside the question of what specific language for a moment, because the Rishonim actually raised a very interesting question on this Gemara. The Rishonim raised the question, which is, what does it mean to pray with a congregation such that you can use any language that you want? Now, there are two options here. The Gemara says, Habit Sibor Habiyathid. Doesn't elaborate on what Sibor is and what Yathid is. There are two options for what Sibor can mean and for what yachid can mean. So number one, I think, is what most of us would think is the most obvious option, which is what?
A minion.
When you're davening with a minion, when you're davening with a minion of 10 men, in that situation, the tefillah can be in any language. Who thinks, who came away from the Gemara with that impression? Just out of curiosity. A few people. Did anybody come away with a different impression? No, okay. So the other option that the Rishonim point out is maybe that doesn't mean the literal prayer in a room with a minion. Maybe it means communal prayer, the prayer that people pray together, i.e. the congregational tefillah, meaning Shmona Esrei. The Gemara says that in a congregation you can pray in any language, but does that mean when you pray in a congregation or when you pray the prayer of the congregation, meaning Shmona Esrei? So if you look at the Rif, Rabbi Yitzchak Alfasi, a North African Rishon, one of the most important Rishonim, he's one of the three that the Shulchan Aruch takes into consideration when deciding the halacha. Who are the other two? Anybody know? The Rif, the Rosh, and the Rambam, exactly. He was Nifter in 1103, and he writes in his commentary on the Gemara. I'm sorry, I turned the page too soon. It's on the very bottom of page number one, source number three. V'had katani tefila b'chol lashon, and that which was stated that you can daven in any lashon, hane mile bitzibor, with the community. It seems like he's saying not the tefila itself, but the setting, it has to be with a minion. If you're in shul or in a house minion, but as long as you're davening with a minion, you can daven in any language. But bit, yachid, when one is praying by themselves, that would be problematic. Okay? Fine. But this is not the approach of every Rishon, even if it may seem like the simplest understanding. The Rush actually quotes from Rabbanai Tzarfat. He doesn't say which one specifically, but this was an opinion that was prominent in the rabbis of France at the time. And he says, V'Rabbanai Tzarfat, in source number 4, in the underlined portion, Zichronam Livracha Hayu Notnim Ta'am, just to skip ahead for the sake of brevity and readability, V'hada Amar Rav Yehuda Al Yishal Adam Tzracha V'lashon Arami. When Rav Yehuda said that you're not allowed to daven in an Aramaic language, what does that mean? Remember, what does the Rif say it means? And the simple, maybe, understanding of our Gemara, it means when you're davening by yourself. But he has a different. The Rabbanei Tzarfat have a different understanding of what that means. What does it mean? That applies not when one is davening by themselves, but when one is making an individual request, such as if you have a sick person residing with you and you want to daven for their refuah shlema, or some other personal request. However, aval, he says, tefila shehi kavua letzibor, afilu kasheyachid mitpalel. But when it comes, it's not about whether you're davening with a minion or not. It depends on which prayer you're davening. If you're davening the prayer of the tzibor, which means Shemona Esrei, then you can daven in any language you want, even if you're praying it by yourself. But when you daven by yourself, or even when you daven with the minion, if the request that you're making is not what is considered the fixed tefillah b'tzibor, then one cannot recite it in any language. Seemingly, according to Rabbanei Tzarfat, this is both a kula and a chumra. It's a kula in the sense that even when you're davening by yourself, as long as you're saying Shmona Esrei, you can say it in any language. But it's a chumra in the sense that even if you're davening with the community, if you deviate from the text of that prayer, you lose the opportunity to say it in any language. Okay? Does that make sense? These two different opinions as to what we're talking about here? Either it means with the minion or the prayer of the minion? Okay, good. So the question is, what's the obvious next question? We have a machlokas Rishonim. What's the psak? How do we paskin in this machlokas between the Rishonim? So the Shulchan Aruch paskins in Aruch Chaim Siman Kuf Aleph Seif Dalet, Shulchan Aruch being the normative code of Jewish law where we would look for psak, actually isn't so clear when it comes to this psak, because he quotes all of the opinions. In source number 5 in Shulchan Aruch Aruch Chaim Siman Kuf Aleph Seif Dalet, He says, Yachal yitpal b'chol lashon shiyirtze. Like the Mishnah, you can daven in any language that you want. V'hani mile b'tzibor. These apply when you're davening b'tzibor, with the congregation, which reminds us of who? The Rif. This is the Rif. Aval b'yachid lo. Aval b'yachid, you cannot. Ela b'lashon ha-kodesh, except if you're speaking in Hebrew. That's the opinion of the Rif. We read that Rif, right? We know that Rif. The Rif is our good friend here. V'yesh omrim. But there are other people who say something else. Who is this? The Rabbanei Tzarfat, who are quoted in the Rush. Dehani milek shesho el tzarachav. No. That really only applies when you're making a personal yachid request. Kigon shehit palel al chole o al shum tzar sheyeshlo. When you're davening for the refuah shlema of somebody or a various other struggle that you're having. However, a tfila kavua litzibor, afilu yachid yachol omra b'chol lashon. Even an individual can recite that prayer. So he quotes both the Rif and the Rabbanit Tzarfan. And then he says, V'yesh omrim, a third shita, there are some that say, Da'af yachid, k'shesho el tzrachav yachal lisho b'chol lashon shiyirtze chutz milashon arami. And some say that even el yachid, even an individual, can request their personal needs in any language except for Aramaic. So we have three different shitas. Number one, what's the first shita? You can pray in any language if you're davening with the community. But if you daven alone, you have to use Hebrew. You have to use Lashon HaKodesh. That's shita number one. Number two is, it doesn't depend on whether you're davening or not with the minyan. It depends on what you're saying. If you're saying the fixed Shmona Esrei, then you're good to go. You can daven in any language, whether or not you're davening with the tzibor. But if you're praying another something, if you're saying, you're asking Hashem for refuah shlema, please Hashem give refuah shlema to so and so, then you have to say it in Lashon HaKodesh. That's shita number two. And shita number three is, it doesn't matter whether you're praying alone, and it doesn't matter whether you're praying b'tzibor, and it doesn't matter whether you're saying the Shemona Esrei, and it doesn't matter whether you're saying another text. But what does it matter? It matters specifically whether you're saying Aramaic, which is something we were talking about. If it's Aramaic, then alone, it's not going to work. But if it's not Aramaic, even if it's not Hebrew, you can daven it even if you're alone. And Kal Vachomer Shmona Esrei, you can daven in any language, even Aramaic.
Why? Why is Aramaic so good?
Great question. So we'll answer that by asking another question. Question is, what's so bad about Aramaic? So we said briefly, maybe it's a lashon Laguna, but I want to ask you a question, which is, we just quoted three shitas, right? We just read three shitas. But how many shitas did we see in the Rishonim? Two. We only saw two shitas in the Rishonim. So one of these shitas, which one of these shitas did we not see? One of these shitas we didn't see. Which one was it? We read the Rabbanei Tzarfat, it was quoted in the Rush. One of these doesn't really seem to appear in the Rishonim, at least the way that we read them. One of these shitas we didn't see. The shita we didn't see is the first one. The first shita, what was the first shita? Well, if you look at the Shulchan Aruch, V'hani mili b'tzibor aval b'yachid lo yitpalel, ella b'lashon hakodesh. Right? That idea, the heter to pray in any language applies b'tzibor, when you're davening with a minion. But b'yachid, you can only daven in Hebrew. Now, who does this shita seem like? You want to take a guess? We're an easy crowd. You can guess. It seems like the Rif. Right, it's partially the statement of the Rif. The Rif had said that it depends on whether you're davening with a minyan or not. And here the Shulchan Aruch says, if you're davening with a minyan, you can say it in any language, and if you're davening by yourself, you have to speak in Hebrew. But that's not what the Rif said. What did the Rif say? If you look back at the Rif, b'chol lashon hani mili b'tzibor aval b'yachid lo, he's paskining our Gemara. And what did our Gemara say was the problematic language? It was Aramaic. But here it says, it's not just Aramaic, this Shulchan Aruch says, it's not just Aramaic, Ela B'Lashon HaKodesh, any language that's not Hebrew is problematic. Just to simplify things, the Rif and our Gemara seem to say that B'tzibor you can daven in any language, and B'yachid you can daven in any language except for Aramaic. But the Shulchan Aruch's presentation of the Rif changes it a little bit. Seems to say that you can daven not just in a language that's not only in a language other than Aramaic, but you can only daven in Hebrew. So that's different.
But that's the question that was
yet. Exactly. So the question is, how did we get from point A to point B? How did we get from understanding that the Gemara is really only talking about Aramaic to talking about any language other than Hebrew? Does that make sense, that question? Are people okay? We're getting this? Okay. It's interesting lumdus, but it's important lumdus. Okay. It's good schar for Talmud Torah. So this is a very interesting question.
And therefore, where not everyone knew Hebrew in the world, and women are less apt to know the Lashon HaKodesh, and it's rather than the Lashon of speaking. In that case, it could be, you know, wouldn't be Aramaic, it would be Ladino or Arabic, etc., etc. So it's interesting that there is specifically talking about what the women do.
Yeah. Yeah, the truth is, if you look also in the, we didn't do it, we're not going to do it right now because we're in the middle of a question, but if you look, that the sheet of the Rabbani Tzarfat is specifically responding to the question of women and what language they were davening in. Yeah, so just to summarize, this is our question, okay? The Rif says that when you pray alone, you can't use any language, but he doesn't specifically say that you have to use Hebrew. The Shulchan Aruch says you specifically have to use Hebrew. So maybe the Rif would be fine with any language other than Aramaic. Why is the Shulchan Aruch saying that you have to use Hebrew? So this is a good question. And some explain it as follows. The Maharsha seems to be saying this way, that the art scroll, Masechet Sota, quotes the Maharsha as saying this way, but it's not so clear this is what the Maharsha is saying, but that they quote it as saying that it's really sort of like a Kal Vachomer. According to the Rif, if angels do not speak Aramaic, they certainly do not speak other languages. Meaning Aramaic is in some ways closer to Hebrew. If they don't speak Aramaic, then you can assume that they're certainly not speaking any language. And therefore, an individual can only pray in Hebrew. So that's how they bridge that gap. But in any case, okay, we have our three shitas. You can pray in any language as long as you're praying with the congregation. Number one. Number two, one can pray in any language as long as they are praying the fixed Shemona Esrei. Number two. And number three, one can pray in any language as long as they are not praying in Aramaic, and that applies even individually. That's number three. That's the Shita of the Rush. So what do we do? Which one do we paskin like? And Shulchan Aruch quotes all three of these Shitas. So if you look in the Mishnah Berurah is split on pages 2 and 3. Siman Kaf Kuf Aleph Sif Katan Yud Gimel, the Mishnah Berurah quotes the Chasam Sofer. The Chasam Sofer has a couple of tshuvas, Rabbi Moshe Sofer of Pressburg, has a couple of tshuvas where he writes that really one is only supposed to make use of this heter to daven in another language on an inconsistent basis. Let's see what the Mishnah Berurah says. Ayin b'tshuvos chasim sofer or rachayim simin peidalet upeivav sheherich b'kama rayot demashe hitiru li hitpalo v'chol lashon hayinu davka ba'akrai. That no matter how you paskin in this debate, the heter to daven in any language applies specifically ba'akrai, applies specifically on an inconsistent basis. Avali kvoa bekviat midi to lahamit shliach tzibor lashkiach lashon hakodesh legamrei ze yefshar b'shum ofen. But to daven routinely in a language other than Hebrew, and certainly to establish a prayer leader who's going to daven in a language other than Hebrew, and thereby cause the lashon hakodesh, the holy tongue, to be forgotten, that is going to be problematic. As we've spoken, so the Mishnah Berurah says that, how does the Mishnah Berurah paskin for us? Mishnah Berurah says, he doesn't really get into the whole machloket of which of the three shittos we paskin like. The Mishnah Berurah says, it doesn't really matter because this is only ever okay on an inconsistent basis in the first place. And you still have to know what to do on an inconsistent basis if this is a heter that one is going to use. But we'll talk, we'll get further into it. But one should not do this regularly. Now, why not? Why is this a problem? The Mishnah didn't seem to have any problem with it. The Gemara didn't seem to have any problem with it unless it was Aramaic. What could possibly be the problem? Why all of a sudden in 1700, 1800, all of a sudden there's now a problem with davening in another language? So there are three reasons given. Number one, Mishnah Berurah points out, maybe Mishnah Berurah doesn't point this out, but some posts can point this out in explaining the Shita. Number one, it's very difficult to translate in a way that preserves the meaning of each and every word. Even though it technically might be permissible, and the Shulchan Aruch and the Gemara talking about on a conceptual level, it might be fine. Practically speaking, it's very difficult to translate properly in a way that preserves the meaning of each and every word of the Shemona Esrei. And so, because it's difficult to translate, we try not to use a translation. Number two, as we've spoken about in previous shiurim, and this is where you can kind of see the continuum of what we've been studying, the text of the Shemona Esrei, according to many, remember there was a very profound statement from Reb Chaim Volozhin about this, that each text of the Shemona Esrei is endowed with profound wisdom and meaning and allusions, so much so that people counted even the number of letters in the Shemona Esrei to derive meaning from it. So if you want to say that each word of Shemona Esrei is so important, and Chazal, when they were establishing the Shemona Esrei, remember we saw some shittas that maybe Chazal didn't establish the specific text of Shemona Esrei the way we have it today, but if you want to say that Chazal established the Shemona Esrei, and they did it very intentionally, and they did it with a lot of meaning, well, then obviously what happens when you translate into another language? If you, according to some poskim, if you use different words, you lose the meaning of Chazal. And so we have to be very careful to preserve the text of Shemona Esrei. So Kal Vachomer, if you lose a different language, you're going to lose all of those hints, those Kabbalistic secrets that are contained within the meaning of Shemona Esrei. And so those are two reasons. A third reason given by the Mishnah Berurah, I think, and certainly given by the Chasam Sofer was battling the Reform movement. And the Chasam Sofer was very upset that the Reform movement had taken and translated the different prayers. And so he thought it was very problematic to do so, because you're not only losing the Kabbalistic secrets that were contained in the Shemona Esrei, but you're trifling with the customs of Am Yisrael, and that is not considered to be appropriate. The truth is, this Chasam Sofer's passage is echoed, taken an even more strong position in a passage from the Yeshuas Yaakov. Yeshuas Yaakov was a contemporary of the Chasam Sofer. I think they even passed away in the same year, Rabbi Yaakov Meshulam Ornstein. He was Nifter in 1839. I believe that's when the Chasam Sofer was Nifter. He was the Av Beis Din of Lvov and one or two other places. And he has Tshuvos and he has a commentary on the Shulchan Aruch, and he makes the same point here. And it's always nice to look at sources like inside. I always find that that's more meaningful, more of a geschmack than copy and pasting just the text. So here we have an actual snippet of what his Sefer looks like. And he says at the very end, Derech klal lo hitiru li hitpailo b'lashon acher, number 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 lines up from the bottom. In general, our sages never intended to permit one to daven in another language, rak b'shat hadchak, except for in an extenuating circumstance, she'enu mevin b'lashon hakodesh, when one does not understand Hebrew. So we have started out with this question. Remember, our question was, even if someone understands Hebrew, but sometimes they want to daven in another language, is that okay? So the Yeshua Yaakov says, no, you have to really not know Hebrew in order to make use of this heter. Uchedome, aval misha mevin lashon hakodesh, but somebody who understands Hebrew, umevin b'lashon acher gamkein, but also understands another language, pshita de lashon hakodesh adif. It is preferable to daven in lashon hakodesh. Umisha eino mevin b'shnei lashonot gamkein lashon hakodesh adif. And if you don't understand neither Hebrew nor another language, in which case you have to raise the question of how exactly this person is communicating, but if you don't understand any language, you should daven in Hebrew. And if you don't understand Hebrew, but you do understand another language, that is what the Gemara is talking about when they say that there's a difference between Tfilas HaYachid and Tfilas HaTzibor. It's only when you don't understand Hebrew and you do understand another language. In that situation, B'Tzibor you can pray in the other language, but B'Yachid one would still have to pray in Hebrew. And then he concludes, V'gadol, one second, he concludes, V'gadol HaMinhag Shenahagu B'chol HaArtzot L'Yitpalo B'Lashon HaKodesh. And it's a great minhag that it's really important that everybody davens in the same Hebrew language. Zulas nashim, because women were not always proficient in Hebrew language. And then he writes about a tshuva that he wrote about this subject to the community of Pressburg, Germany. So halach lemaisa, can someone pray in another language? In another language. Let's talk about psakim, because we need to know what to do. So I think what emerges from all of this is, and just to summarize, today we asked the question of can one daven in another language, and we saw machlokes rishonim, we saw machlokes achronim, and we even saw the Shulchan Aruch brings a lot of different positions. So I think that certainly on an inconsistent basis, and this is how Pini Halacha, I think, paskins, on an inconsistent, it could be wrong about that, but I think so, on an inconsistent basis, in an extenuating circumstance, if somebody doesn't know how to pray in Hebrew, there is reason to permit it. And I think we can be makil for such a person. That's what the poskim say. One can be makil, Yishos Yaakov, one can be makil, and even the Chasam Sofer and the Mishnah Berurah, the Derech Akrai, for somebody who doesn't understand. But I do think that even somebody who doesn't understand Hebrew has a responsibility to train themselves to understand the Amidah and the Hebrew so that they can pray Shemona Esrei properly. Meaning, if somebody's not going to pray at all because they don't know Hebrew, then they should pray in the language that they understand. But somebody should try to learn the Hebrew and to at least learn what they're saying, even if they can read Hebrew but don't understand what it means, so that they can daven. The truth is, the Mishnah Berurah does write that really has its origins in a comment of the Magen Avraham, maybe even a comment of the Tosfos. The Mishnah Berurah points out in source number 8 that whereas if you do daven in another language, you need to understand at least that language. If you daven in Hebrew, you don't have to understand Hebrew in order to be yotzei the mitzvah of tefillah. But if you daven in another language, you have to know that language in order to be yotzei. It's similar to Sfiras HaOmer. We're in Sfiras HaOmer right now. This is a similar machlokas. Let's say you don't understand Hebrew. Can you count Sfiras HaOmer in another language? So some poskim say, the Mishnah Berurah himself is of this position, that it's better to say Sfira in a language that you understand than to say it in Hebrew if you don't understand it. If you understand both languages, then you should say it in Hebrew. But if you don't understand it in Hebrew, it's better to say it in a language you understand. However, the Rav Yaakov Emden in his Tshuvos actually writes, no, it's better to say it in Hebrew even if you don't understand it. It's a machlokes. But when it comes to tefillah, tefillah is not sfira. But when it comes to tefillah, the Mishnah Berurah writes that if you say it in Hebrew, you're yotzei. You fulfill the obligation of Shemona Esrei to daven, you're good. But you do not necessarily fulfill the obligation of Shemona Esrei if you say it in a language you don't understand. So where does that leave us, halacha lemaisa? So I would say, if anybody, this is a live shaila, I would think that the psak has to be as follows. Ideally, people should be praying in Hebrew. That's the language Shemona Esrei was established in. However, if somebody does not understand Hebrew, then if they read Hebrew, then they should daven in Hebrew, even if they don't understand it. And they should try, and you know, there are great sidurim out nowadays that have transliterations, and you can understand what you're saying while you're saying it. The truth is, Rav Avadja Yosef writes in a tshuva, that I think in Yechaveh Da'at, in one of his tshuvas for him, Rav Avadja Yosef writes that publishers, it's really an achrayas on publishers, publishers have the responsibility to publish even English transliterations, not just, sometimes he says, yes, the Hebrew words and the English right below them. Art School has a fantastic sitter. It's very big because it's transliterated. But they have a fantastic sitter where it's actually word for word for word what you're saying. So that would help. But Rav Avadja says even to write out in English in Hebrew. So instead of saying, for example, Bet Reish Vav Chaf Baruch Ata Hashem Elokeinu V'Elokei Avoteinu, you would write in English. Instead of blessed, you would write Bet Aleph B-A-R-U-C-H, Baruch, so that even someone who doesn't read Hebrew can say it in Hebrew by reading the English translation of not just the meaning of the word, but of the actual spelling of the word. Rav Avadya says that you should publish Sfarim like that, so that people will know what to do, because it's very ideal to daven in Hebrew. However, if somebody does not know how to read Hebrew, and they will not be, they don't have access to a sitter like that, and they will not be able to daven otherwise, then certainly they should daven in their language. Certainly they should daven in their own language, save for if that's what they need to do. Otherwise, they're not going to fulfill the mitzvah of tefillah according to anybody, and that is certainly worse. Some other practical questions that we can talk about. I have to run, but. We spoke about at the beginning is, can somebody insert their own private prayers into the Shemona Esrei in English? So really, maybe we can do a shiur on that. When, at what points, and is it permissible to make your own what we call bakasha? Anybody do that, by the way? I do that. Anybody do that? Insert their own prayers into the Shemona Esrei? So we can have a shiur about when it's permissible, at what point in the Shemona Esrei can you insert your own prayers. Generally speaking, almost all poskim say that it's fine to do it after Elokein Etzor, before the Hiyul Ratzon. Some folks can say Ashma Kolenu, also you can be Mekel, right before Kiyat Tashomea Tefillah. You can add in your own prayers, but do you have to do that in Hebrew? That's a question that arises. So the truth is, the Piskei Tshuvos quotes from several Achronim that when you're adding your own Bakashos, you can say those in English. That's the opinion of the Piskei Tshuvos, quoting Achronim, you can say those in English. So for example, in Shema Kolenu, you can pause to say, please help so-and-so have a refuah shlema. Help so-and-so is really struggling, I don't know, as a parent. You can daven for that. Whatever is going on, you can say those things in English. That is the conclusion of Piskei Tshuvos here in our simon. So I think to conclude, in a word, we should all be zochet to daven in Hebrew, but there is leniency. There is wiggle room for those who are not able to daven in Hebrew. We'll leave that here for now. We will pick up in a week from today at our regular meeting time at 2 p.m. I do have to make one housekeeping announcement, which is that I will be away for 2 Mondays in the month of May. I'll send out a communication about the shul will, and I'll have Joan Batesh send out a communication about which Mondays those are going to be. I believe... I don't remember the dates, I'm sorry. I'll send out a communication about what it's going to be. So we're going to have to be on hiatus because I just won't be in town. And everybody should have a great day and a meaningful afternoon. Okay.